Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to call right now, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-32-BASIC. We're live on the air and online right now, so you can call and get an immediate answer to your questions or to discuss the important issues in your life right now. Again, the toll-free number, 844-322-2742. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. One of the foundational truths of this basic gospel is that we are new covenant believers when Christ died, and that is the first chapter of the gospel message. Christ died according to scriptures. Note on the negative way that it starts. Death is a bad thing, but Christ was buried and then he was raised back to life. And through his death, his blood inaugurated a new covenant. It ratified this new covenant that Jeremiah the prophet had talked about so many years prior to Christ's death on Calvary Hill. Well, in this new covenant, it's a covenant of grace, and there's a big distinction between this new covenant and what we saw in the old covenant, the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic covenant that God made with the people of Israel. In that old covenant, the Ten Commandments defined what sin was. So we see what sin was as we read those Ten Commandments. We see what sin is today as we read those Ten Commandments. And it also told us what the consequence of violating those commandments would be. Many of those brought the death sentence. So it was a very clear-cut case. Sin and death, sin and death, sin and death. That was the ministry of that old covenant. But nowhere in that old covenant will you find teachings on how to say no to sin. It's just don't do this and give it your best shot. As a matter of fact, that's what the people of Israel said to God when they gave the Ten Commandments. Oh, Lord, all that you have said, all that you have commanded, we will do. Well, they didn't do a very good job of that. But in this new covenant that we live in today, the Spirit of God teaches us to say no to sin. That's what we find in Titus 2:11-14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in this new covenant, there is a teaching element that works within us, the Holy Spirit working within us, to bring us to that point where we can genuinely say no to sin and yes to faith in Jesus Christ, the righteous living that God has called us to. That's what we all long for in life. That's all that we're looking for in life, is a way to say no. I know when I was in college, man, I tried to be God's guy. I tried and tried and tried, but sin was just too much for me. I could not say no. I eventually gave in almost every single time. What I was looking for was someone to teach me and to empower me and to give me the courage to say no and to say yes to Jesus. And that's what I found in the new covenant. The grace of God does teach us to say no. If you're struggling with a particular sin, if you are just being inundated by temptations and you feel overwhelmed, there is a solution and there is hope. It's called the grace of God that we experience in this new covenant.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We have calls coming in, but still open lines on the board. That number, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Calgary, Alberta, and talk with Miles. Hi, Miles.
Hi, fellas.
Hey, Miles.
Great to talk to you again. Hey, I was recently listening to an interview with a gentleman named Glenn Greenwald, who is the person Eric Snowden revealed his revelations to. And Glenn Greenwald talks about the National Security Agency being ever-present, monitoring people these days. And he said stems from the Abrahamic God, who is meddlesome and nosy and ready to strike you down, which has struck me as a very negative perspective, rather than looking at God as a loving father. And to that end, I think of my own son and daughter, who occasionally have outbursts and selfish attitudes that, if it were not for them being my child, I would not endure that from anyone else. But I always say, I love you, in spite of their behaviors. So it gets me to thinking that the Bible has numerous references to God being ever-present in our lives and looking out for us, and that we all have to be eventually recognizing ourselves as a child of God, among all the other different titles, such as the one you used, Bob, being God's guy. And I was just wondering if you might elaborate on references where we have this ever-loving Father actually looking out for us at all times.
Just part of the nature of who God is the fact that he's omniscient, that he's omnipotent, and that he's omnipresent. There's no place that we can go that he's not there. And we see that in the book of Psalms. David talks about that on several occasions as he writes about his relationship with God and that heart trying to seek after God. And that's just the way it is. But God is not meddlesome. He's not invading our space to make us nervous or to put us on edge or to make us anxious that he's about ready to throw the hammer at us. That's not God. God is love. That's what we find out about God in Jesus. So he's ever present to be there for us when we need him. And, as a lost person, I didn't think I really needed God, but there were times when life got tough and, you'd cry out to God, help, Lord, help. We talked about a passage in Romans yesterday, Romans chapter 10, where Paul is making a great argument on the simplicity of faith. It's not something that we have to go up and get or descend down and bring up, and he's quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, but he says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend, who will descend? No, but what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth, and it is in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. So what he's saying there is that God is ever present. And he's easy to find just with, a recognition of who Christ is and what he's done in our lives. As we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that that God has raised him from the dead, there is when we see God for who he really is. So he's always there. He's always available to us. And that's what Scripture is trying to make clear to each and every one of us, that he's not distant. It's not like we have to do a million things to try to appease him, to get him to look our way. He's already looking our way, and he's already made that known to us through that demonstration of love in Christ dying to take away our sins once and for all. So we can count on him. So he's there, he's interested, he cares in each and everything that we do. Unlike a meddlesome government, they're there not to necessarily prying in our business for our own good, but for the good of the government.
Yeah, it's interesting that when we humans try to play God, we invent government. And then we take our own human invention and try to project that onto the one God of the universe. And we define God in our own terms. It's no wonder that he looks like us, and we wouldn't want to spend 5 minutes with this guy. But if we allow God to define himself, and change our own minds, then we can clearly see the difference between human inventions and godly love.
Yeah.
Yes, and the new covenant really just it allows us to define ourselves simply as a child of God, mm-hmm. and to rest in that relationship. Well, fellas, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Miles.
Yeah,
thanks for
your
call. We appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Miles. Open lines for you at 800-844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Clay in Hutto, Texas. Hi, Clay.
How are you all doing today?
Doing fine. How about you, my friend?
Oh, I was doing good. I was going to ask a question about in John 12, but I think I'd rather respond to what y'all were just talking about. Some of my biggest problems in my relationship with God have been when I change things around where I become the initiator and expect him to respond to me. But as long as I keep things in perspective to where he's already initiated it and I respond to who he is, that keeps me from trying to define who God is, and I can see who he is through his written word.
Yeah.
Through his relationship.
Clay, great point. That's how the Christian life works. God initiates, we respond. It's by grace through faith. Grace is God's initiative toward us. That's showing us his unmerited or his favor toward us. We respond by faith. That's how this thing works. And Miles was talking about, is God always watching out over us? The great truth as far as believers are concerned is that God is in us, that Christ has come to live in us through the Holy Spirit, and he's always with us, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. So anything that's happening in life for us, God is right there with us, inside of us, teaching us, encouraging us, assuring us, doing all the things that the Holy Spirit was sent to do in our lives. And that's a wonderful comfort as we go through each and every day, that God is right there with us. And so when temptation knocks at our door, we go and, if we answer, God's right there answering it with us, and he's going to be showing us the way of escape. That's how God works. And that's a marvelous reality.
So would you say the scripture says that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness? Would you say that's the person of the Holy Spirit? I'd like to believe that it is.
It's the person of the Holy Spirit. It also are all the things that we have in Christ, like redemption, the forgiveness of sins, the fact that we've been given the righteousness of Christ, the fact that we've been reconciled, the fact that we have an inheritance, the fact that we have a hope that is sure and true. All of those are the spiritual blessings that God has bestowed upon us in Christ, and the Holy Spirit makes those a reality to us as we abide and depend upon him every day of life.
Well, amen. Thank you, man. And I really love the program and enjoy it.
Thank you, Clay. Thanks for your call. We appreciate it.
Thanks. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Friends, we have a wonderful new tool in our arsenal to aid your spiritual growth and maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a devotional booklet called 12 Days of Simply Grace, and I can't recommend it highly enough. It's excerpted, I believe, if that's the right word, from your book called the same name, actually Simple Grace.
Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
Way to go, Bob.
Yeah. new book coming out July 1st, but we wanted to whet your appetite a little bit, and we produced this devotional guide, 12 Days of Simply Grace. Some of the stories from the book are taken, and then we've put it in a devotional form. Great passages of Scripture. And if you want to see what the grace of God really is, I think this devotional will help draw it out in your understanding. We'll ask you some questions, force you to take a look at some key passages, and then come to grips with the fact that God has just poured out this grace on us lavishly in Christ Jesus. It's the most amazing truth that we will ever come to. 12 days of Simply Grace.
And it's yours, of course, for a gift of any amount this month at Basic Gospel. And all you need to do is go to our website, basicgospel.net, and click Donate Today in the graphic at the lower right corner of our homepage at basicgospel.net. So to make your donation, simply go there, and we'd love to get one into your hands. It's a wonderful tool, as I said. We'd love to get one coming to you. So go to basicgospel.net, or you can call 844-412-2742 during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator to make your donation and request your copy of 12 Days of Simply Grace.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go out to Livermore, California, and talk to William listening to us on KDIA. Hi, William.
Hi, Bob. Matthew 7:23, it's recorded that Jesus was speaking about people who try to get into heaven by their works, and they were rejected, and he said that it's because he never knew them. What did he mean, he never knew them?
Well, he never knew them in the sense of that relationship of that we're born again into the family of God, that we belong to him and he belongs to us. That's the part of knowing us. He knows their heart. He knows their intentions. He knows all about them. But in terms of relationship, God the Father and us being the children of God, that relationship was never established. Why? Because they were going at it the wrong way.
Yeah, this is directly related to what we were talking about with Clay just a minute ago. Here we have a whole bunch of people who are initiating to God, and he says, I don't know you. And on the converse of that, if God is initiating to us and we are responding to him, then we are known beyond anything we can imagine. So it's totally based on the relationship we have with Jesus.
Indeed. And these folks are categorized as false prophets in verse 15 of chapter 7 of Matthew. Watch out for false prophets. And so false prophets are trying to lure people away from truth. And then when it's their turn to be judged, this is how they plead their case. Look at all that we did. So it's all based on works. And that's where Jesus says to them, look, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers.
So basically, it's the same as saying that we never had fellowship with one another.
Correct. You were never a part of the fellowship.
Right. So Paul's saying the same thing in Galatians when he says, but now that you know God, but rather that God knows you.
Yes.
He's saying the same thing there.
I think you're exactly right.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, William. Thanks for your call. We appreciate it.
Yes. Open lines, 844-322-2742 or 844-32-BASIC. Want to hear from you.
Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Martin, listening to us on our great affiliate, WMCA. Hi, Martin.
Hello there. It's great to hear from you again.
Well, thank you. What's on your mind today?
Amen. Well, regarding Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, I thought that it is appointed unto man once to die, then to after this the judgment. What do I mean by that?
Well, it simply means this, that your eternal destiny is determined between the time of your birth and the time of your death. Once you die, that destiny is sealed, so to speak. So you come into this world spiritually dead, separated from the life of God. That's due to the sin of Adam and Eve. So when Adam and Eve had Seth was born into their image. That was a fallen image. They were dead spiritually. And we see indications of that spiritual death early on in a child's life when they learn to lie before they even learn how to speak. That's just what humanity is apart from Christ. Well, the gospel is there, and Jesus died to take away our sins, and Jesus was buried, and Jesus was raised back to life so that we could have life everlasting. And when that message hits a person's heart and they respond in faith, so by grace through faith we are saved, they are made alive together with Christ. John, in his great gospel account, says this, that they cross over from death to life. So that's the time of new birth. And so when somebody who has been born again of the Spirit of God dies physically, they are immediately absent from the body and present with the Lord. Their eternal life continues. When somebody dies who has never received Christ, then there's judgment. And that judgment is going to be eternal death, and they're going to experience what the book of Revelation calls the second death. And it's simply because they refused to believe Jesus. They refused to receive him and his offer of life through faith in him. That's their judgment. You refused Jesus Christ. You refused life. So you're simply going to remain dead. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you, Martin?
Yeah, thanks.
Well, we appreciate your call. Good question. Well, let's go to Long Island and talk to Dominic.
Hi, Pastor. You just said a few minutes ago, God is everywhere. Yet my understanding is God is not in hell, because if God was in hell, then people wouldn't care if they went to hell. So you have to, I think you have to be specific in saying God is never in hell and always to avoid hell. The ways of hell.
Well, God is never going to be under eternal wrath. He is life. That's who God is. But you know, David said something. Even if I descend into the pits of Hades, you would be there with me.
That was wrong. David always was. What does the passage say? He yearned for God because he knew he was such a sinner. It doesn't say that everyone in the Old Testament got to heaven. This is expression. Mm-hmm. His words even say that he didn't even really get there because he knew he was so evil, even though he did the good things.
Well, I think David, you know, as God said, was a man after God's own heart.
That's it right there.
David
actually got God's own heart. That's what he's saying.
Well, David
actually got God's own heart.
David recognized that his sin was too big for any sacrifice to take it away. So he appealed to the mercy of God. And as he recorded, I think in Psalm 32, he said, "Blessed is the man whose sin you do not take into account." And that was true of David. God did not take his sin into account. Why? Because he had declared David righteous. And so even though he did not receive what you and I receive today, the gift of God's Spirit, after the work of Christ, he was completed just like all the Old Testament saints were. And we read about that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, that great chapter on the Old Testament saints and how God commended each and every one for their faith. And he ends it by saying that they did not receive what we received, what it promised, but he said that they were going to do it in a little while. And when did they receive that? When the finished work of Christ happened. Well, Dominic, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. We're out of time on today's broadcast.
Yes, indeed. You know, friends, there are many valuable resources available to you in our online store, and you can peruse them at store.basicgospel.net. Also, please remember Basic Gospel in your giving. We are a listener-supported ministry, and it's your prayers and gifts that keep the good news of Jesus Christ on the airwaves and online. And if you'll click the link that says Donate Today in the graphic in the lower right corner of the homepage at basicgospel.net to make your donation, why, you'll receive a new copy of, or a copy of Bob Christopher's new devotional booklet called 12 Days of Simply Grace. Again, that's at basicgospel.net, and that graphic is in the lower right page, lower right corner of the homepage at Basic Gospel. Well, that's our broadcast for today, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. See you then. Bye-bye.